Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
13 months ago, the International Olympic Committee revised its guidelines concerning transgender athletes, saying there is, quote, no presumption of advantage, unquote, for those athletes who identify as transgender. Obviously, members of that committee failed Biology 101. Thankfully, they did get a lot of pushback, and one of the individuals who pushed back is my guest today. Steve McConkie is the president of Four Winds USA, also known as Four Winds Christian Athletics. Thanks, Steve, for being with us.
Yes, thank you. And it's a, you know, nice snowy day here in Wisconsin, but it's good to be with you today.
Yeah, it's good to be inside where it's not so yucky, for sure. So you've been involved in sports since high school, I think. You were running across country and then in college, but you've been involved in ministry in more recent years, actually ministering in 10 Olympics. Why do you feel it's so important to be present at those sporting events, not just the Olympics, but other sporting events where you minister?
It's real important. I know last year the USA Championships was the trials for the World Championship team. So I was able to go off to Eugene, Oregon, and spend a good amount of time. And the World Championships were in Eugene, Oregon, and we had a record harvest of medals. But it's good to go out. Since 1981, we've been in world-class athletics, in track and field predominantly. So good to go out and talk and minister to those athletes and people that we've been in contact with all those years. So that's an ongoing ministry that we have, and so it's good to stay in touch.
Oh, good, very good. Because I don't think there's very many ministries that concentrate on sporting events, on athletes.
Quite a few ministries, but, you know, our particular ministry, we work with track and field, and then we expanded to all sports as we've taken on issues affecting sports. So we have kind of a dual purpose. You know, predominantly we minister to athletes, but at the same time, when we see something that's coming in, we'll take a stand.
Good. Well, such as the transgender issue in the International Olympic Committee. Now, why do you think the Olympic Committee, and, you know, they're not alone, but other sports organizations, why do you think they're catering to the transgender activist?
Well, when we started, we were the only ones in 2003 taking on the International Olympic Committee for allowing transgenders in. I called all the International Olympic Committee people in the United States that were here, and there's three of them, and complained. And then I called the United States Olympic Committee in Colorado Springs and said, I just don't think this is going to go good. And I really believe that they put it in the Olympics in 2003. And then the high school associations could say, you know, well, they've got it in the Olympics, we can pass it here. Mm-hmm. And then it went into high schools and NCAA, which is the collegiate arm of sports. And then it went into pro sports. And then all of a sudden, now we got drag queens at the White House.
Yeah. And a White House that's very much pushing this transgender agenda. And the fact that Pennsylvania's former Secretary of Health, Dr. quote unquote Rachel Levin, is pushing so-called gender affirming care for minors. I mean, that is outrageous. I mean, he did that here when he was in Pennsylvania. Now he's a national platform to do that. Plus, the administration, of course, is encouraging schools through the U.S. Department of Education, encouraging schools to allow boys to play on girls' sports, and, you know, to make it the official policy. So, you know, transgender activists have been very active. You know, you're talking about 2003. I don't think very many people realize that this all started with the International Olympic Committee down in, you know, in 2003. Is pretty much under the radar screen. You know, the transgender issue was pretty much under the radar screen at that point. So it's interesting that, you know, so much has happened under the radar screen, and people are just now waking up to, you know, you just mentioned drag queen story hours, drag queens in the White House, but also parents are expressing extreme concern about drag queen story hours in the local libraries and even in some schools. So yeah, it's an onslaught against children, especially in that case with the drag queen story hours. But they use various tactics, but their ultimate goal is to get transgenderism to be painted as normal. So how did the Olympic Committee originally decide who would play in what sport? Before this whole transgender thing, Was it some kind of test that the Olympic Committee performed on the individuals, such as intersex individuals? How did that all work before this whole transgender push?
Well, I think in 2003, before that time, you know, they would observe and make decisions based on what they saw or heard. Mm-hmm. And they really didn't have format until all of a sudden 2003. Then they were requiring sex changes, you know, the actual sex changes and hormone treatment. And it's been a scenario where they dropped that. Then they just said if somebody identifies and goes through the hormone treatment, and then, you know, all of a sudden they were still going to do testosterone tests. And then 13 months ago, they got rid of the testosterone test. And then all of a sudden, you know, it could depend. And so a lot of athletes complain that there's no scientific value. But I will give credit to US, swimming worldwide. They did ban transgenders in June. So they made it very difficult. So what they said is you have to transition it starting at 12 years of age to compete as a swimmer. Well, that basically eliminated transgenders from the Olympics. I don't know anybody that would do that. So I've seen scenarios where, you know, all from 2003 to now, back and forth, what's going on. And now each individual sport must decide based with scientists and supposedly activists, because they still want to include transgenders, but they're going to try to make a scientific statement to where an athlete, you know, where, for example, in track and field, if it's a transgender, the person could win a medal. Or if you go, if you archery, maybe different sports that don't, where transgenders may not have benefit. So they're going to let each individual sport decide. And that's where, you know, and I shouldn't say our different sports, because I don't, you know, archery, what it requires. I know it requires some strength of pulling the bow back. So, it, you know, transgender could have a definite advantage because of fulcrum. So I'm not trying to individualize sports or play the scientist. But what I'm trying to say, each individual sport will decide what's best for them. And then they're going to try to include transgenders in youth sports. And then as they get older, then if they get up an elite level, then they may be not able to compete based on scientific principles. So it's a start. But at the same time, it's just more confusion ahead. Yeah. They should be eliminated altogether.
Yeah. Or have a special class just for transgender athletes, or, you know, those who identify, because there's no such thing as a transgender, those who identify as the opposite sex.
Just see the day that boxing, is, worldwide boxing, is going to allow a separate category for transgenders.
Well, yeah, because there have been many women boxers who have been injured by males who are identifying as female and are in the boxing ring with them. It, you know, it's just mind-boggling that the ones who are heading up these sports, these athletics, are not seeing the problem. Like you mentioned, archery. Obviously, archery doesn't, I would assume, again, also assume, that it doesn't take as much stamina, so to speak, as cross country or as track or such as that. So my concern with a new policy, the new guidelines, is that they're going to use pro-transgender scientists, which there are some out there, scientists and doctors out there, who are pro-transgender, that they will rely on those individuals for guidance when it comes to determining whether a transgender can play in that sport. Time will tell. But like you said, it is at least an indication that they realize that there are differences with a transgender athlete and that different sports require different stamina and different strength and stuff such. So how often does the Olympic Committee meet? Do you know, the International Olympic Committee? To look at guidelines.
Well, I think, you know, they meet periodically. I know after the Olympics, sometimes they meet. They were going to come down with this decision after the 2020 Olympics, and it got postponed. It was in 2021 because of COVID.
Right.
And I think they try to meet each year, but at the same time, it depends on what's pending. So I think it's an active group, and they try to meet and decide various things. So they have a yearly function, and at the same time, a special things come up. I know sometimes during after the Olympics, since everybody's concentrated in one area, they'll meet too.
Yeah.
So it varies.
Sense.
So, you know, but at the same time, they're in the standing committee of the United Nations, so they work with the United Nations. So they're still advocating for transgenders. Mm-hmm. They're just, they've come under such fire because of the University of Pittsburgh swimmer last year, that Mia, who won against women, and so they come under a lot of fire and the grassroots rose up and said, we've had enough of this. So they're responding to it, but obviously, you know, they're out with the United Nations of promoting transgender stuff. And just even the CDC is, you know, telling schoolrooms now to really advocate for more LGBT stuff and push transgenders and stuff on schools. And that's the big battle. People got to rise up to the grassroots level.
Absolutely. Plus, the CDC is offering grants with our taxpayer dollars to have schools, as you said, promote LGBTQ clubs and such as that in activities. But that's grants from your taxpayers that the CDC is offering the schools who will comply. You know, they have a whole list of criteria the schools have to adhere to in order to get these grants. But CDC's dished out hundreds of thousands of dollars to promote LGBTQA+, until they add some more letters. You know, looking at the new guidelines, I can never keep track of the Olympics. When are the Olympics next?
Well, they're going to be in 2024, and they're coming up. And, you know, at the same time, they have the World Championships will be this year in track and field and other sports. You know, they have the World Championships in various sports or equivalent, you know, sometimes. And so, you know, the Olympics are approaching really fast. And, you know, so they're trying to implement things. They were supposed to decide a lot of this after the 2021, you know, Olympics are supposed to be for 2020. And so they're coming out with stuff. They came out, well, they did 13 months ago, and boom, here we are again with more changes. A lot of athletes and Olympics and our organization complained that the scientist, they kind of left the scientists out and left it up to each individual sport. But this time they got a little more specific. I think this is just for the elite level of athletes. They're still advocating youth activities where the transgenders can compete. And then, you know, there was a little talk, you know, too, that they may come up with separate categories in time for Olympic sports, maybe just have a transgender only section in Olympics. Well, that's yet to be seen. And, you know, how this all plays out, it's going to be very interesting. I know swimming, like I said before, took a very solid stand and eliminated transgender athletes.
Yeah, and that was very encouraging news that they did that. I don't believe that the transgender activists would, quote-unquote, allow the International Olympic Committee to have separate sporting events for transgender, simply because they would say, well, you're treating transgenders as second-class citizens. I mean, I can see that would be the response of the activist. So what do you think these new guidelines, if these guidelines stay in place up to the 2024 Olympics, do you see there being a big impact on those? Of course, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I know track and field, the sports that I'm involved with mostly, other than we're involved with too. But track and field, I know they're going to come out with decisions real soon. They've been pondering it back and forth, trying to decide what to do and, you know, shifting through political correctness. I know the Sebastian Coe, who's from Great Britain, he's in charge of that. I know he is not advocating for transgenders, but he's walking a fine rope. And, you know, because they'll give him a little bit of rope, but, you know, so he's trying not to get himself in a lot of trouble. But I know a lot of athletes on the ground and the grassroots level, they're not for all this stuff. And I think that's what you're going to see. And that's why in high schools, for example, a transgender athlete can actually go in a locker room and compete and actually compete with the girls, even shower with them and various activities. But then again, you know, with the pronoun situation in high schools, I know we've recently taken stands and reversed a lot of the schools' pronouns that they were giving kids or advocating. So we've won those battles.
Good.
But at the same time, they can still go in and use any bathroom that they want. So there's a lot of mixed results.
Right.
And what needs to, some of the stuff needs to go to the Supreme Court. Maybe the pronouns, you know, need to go to the Supreme Court. But one thing I know for certain, Trump stopped funding schools that were promoting transgender athletes, started taking funding away. And within 2 hours after Biden got in office, he reversed everything that Trump did.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
And so now we went from Trump to Biden White House a few weeks ago, having transgenders in the White transgenders in the White House, drag queens in the White House, and one advocating some stuff that he said in social media, if I had said that, I'd be in jail.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is some of these people are not, you know, straight. And I think that what we're seeing is a lot of confusion and more immoral activity coming along the pike.
Exactly. And plus, Biden had nominated and he was confirmed. Sam, his real name is Sam Brenton. I don't remember what he's going by now. But he was nominated to be part of the Department of Energy. He's transgender. He identifies as female. And he's lost his job anyway because he was stealing luggage. He was caught stealing luggage at several airports. So he lost his job. But just thought I'd throw that out there. How Biden is pushing the transgender issue through his nominees. There's Samuel Brenton, plus, like I mentioned earlier, former Pennsylvania Secretary of Health, Dr. quote-unquote Rachel Levin, who is bad news and is definitely pushing this agenda across the nation. You know, as we look at what's happening in high schools, where boys are allowed to compete with girls, boys who identify as female are allowed to compete with girls, and how many girls are losing the opportunity for a scholarship to go to college. I mean, there's been numerous cases we've seen on college level, the breaking of women's records. Those records set by guys, by boys or men who identify as women, those records are set by those individuals. Will a woman ever be able to break those records, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at the scenario, there's probably been a few. And I'm just saying, like, four, you know, they just lost a court case where they had four athletes sue and went to federal court, and they said that transgenders still can compete.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's some athletes there that were affected by winning state championships. There's a Division II hurdler, 400-meter hurdler that set records and won the race, so denied people opportunity to win at championship. So there's a few, but I think the bigger picture is this. Is yes, we got to stop. And you know, the swimmer, University Pittsburgh swimmer that won Mia. And so, I mean, yes, it's predominant setting records and getting all American type thing. So that is there. But if you really look at the numbers, they're probably few.
Okay.
The problem is this: they're using this as a means to weaken the family and mm-hmm. also to get in schools and promote their agenda. That's what this is about. And see, people got to focus and think, you know, this is just about athletes winning medals. It goes beyond that.
True.
If you look at the transitioning process, it's very dangerous. First, mm-hmm. they tell you that if you transition, your suicide rates go down, but they go up.
Exactly.
And they don't tell you about the heart disease. They don't tell you about the effects on stroke levels.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you, for example, the study that came out, a massive study in Europe a few years ago that studied 25,000 genes in the human genetic condition. And
mm-hmm.
what they don't tell you is they've never found a gay gene ever.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised people don't concentrate. And this is a study based on millions and millions of genetic material on thousands of gays in Europe. And it was non-biased study. It wasn't a Republican study. It wasn't a Democrat study. It wasn't a Christian study. Just a basic study. And they've never found genetic material. They said there was maybe three minor things, and that's out of millions and millions, but in the fine print, not genetic material, but in the fine print, most likely these are not causative.
Mm-hmm.
And so genetically, homosexuality is not inherited. And that's where, you know, schools, they promote it as another race or something.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the bottom line of what we really need to be focusing
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah, you're right, because it's definitely, the goal definitely is to destroy America. The ultimate goal is to destroy America, but they're doing that by destroying the family, which is the bedrock, which is the foundation of any country. And as they destroy the family, they weaken the foundation of that nation, and they eventually will remake that nation, which is very, very frightening. So, you know,
yes.
Locally, you know, as we're looking at the high school level, let's say, and there's a push by transgender activists to have that school, that is, until they're forced by the federal government, but they're wanting that school to allow boys on girls' sports. Is what would be the best thing for parents to do who have children attending that, you know, that high school?
Well, I know in our local school here, they had a slide, and they showed a slide of various pronouns. Well, we all went to you know, the school board, and I went and talked about the dangers of being transgender. Mm-hmm. And see, people forget that. They think, well, the athletes are going to take over. They think, well, it's destruction of the family. It is. But what we got to do is just present the scientific things and say, hey, this is the result. And this is what I'm telling people. I go to Washington, D.C., and I go to Madison, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. the state capital of Wisconsin. And what I talk about, they need to approach it a little bit differently. They need to talk about the dangers of being transgender. Mm-hmm. In other words, the psychological, the physical problems, and present it like that, because you're not going to convince believers like us of the agenda, but you got to present it that way. And I think that is one way of doing it. You know, obviously prayer, and as a Christian, you know, standing up,
right.
But we, at the same time, we got to be aware that that's how we got to present things. And I'd say just parents get involved. I'm surprised that they had 6 kids walk out of a class when they did the pronouns, but they didn't get a lot of calls into the school board of people complaining. So people got to stand up and not be fearful of maybe if they got a job, they're going to lose their job. Maybe it's time to lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's
job.
Time to stand up. Get, do something. Just trust the Lord. And, you know, and I see that, and I see a lot of parents afraid.
Yeah, and that is frightening. That in itself is frightening. That, you know, to me, parents should be involved in their child's education as far as knowing what's going on in the classroom and such as that if they're not unable to pull their child out of public school. But, yeah, parents need to be involved. But, you know, both parents working and such as that, just to, you know, to pay the bills, to pay their taxes and such as that.
Yes.
To me, that's almost part of the agenda to remake America. Also, is to get the economy in such a way that both parents have to work.
I agree. And they're overwhelmed. Yeah. I mean, you know, and then they got the pressure of the kid. You know, they don't have the money for private school. And, you know, really, in reality, private school and homeschool probably is the answer. But I know the option's not, that's not for everybody. So I don't tell people legalistically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in the small school districts, you may be able to work with them, but you just really got to keep standing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be diligent.
Yeah.
Show up at the school board.
Mm-hmm. Stay on
you
top.
You know, and do be respectful. You know, I don't get in there and call names. I just respect and just present the facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not like the facts. They're very uncomfortable with the facts, but facts are facts.
Facts are facts. They still are, even in 2022, for sure. So how can folks contact you guys?
For us, just keep praying for us, and we're at fourwindsusa.com, and, you know, we need a lot of prayer, and God's with us, but at the same time, you know, taking a stand since 2003 and still participating and ministering to athletes, you know, I run into a lot of opposition, and you'll find out real fast who your friends are.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, 4Winds, the number 4WindsUSA.com is your website. Folks can contact you through that. Great.
Just keep standing up, and I just encourage you to be bold and, you know, just be respectful and go in there and just pray.
Yep, absolutely. We definitely need more prayer.
And sometimes just going to the school board meeting, before I took the stand and publicly talked a few times, I just go listen to what they got to say at the school board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think parents got to be involved. You can't be sleeping. You know, yes, we elect people to be on the school board, but you know what? They get kind of sideswiped and they don't know everything either. So we got to remember that.
True. And they're always being, always have curveballs thrown at them and unfunded mandates from the government and all that kind of stuff. So it's
and keep in mind, like the Wisconsin DPI, they lie to people. They have a website where they're telling preschoolers what to call their parents if they don't agree with the transitioning, the Wisconsin DPI.
Wow.
And then they got links to how to take abortion pills. But the schools don't have to teach that. The thing is, here, they don't have to endorse that. They were telling people that you got to teach pronouns by ninth grade, but I found out they legally don't have to do that.
Wow.
Find out what the laws are.
Yeah.
You know, your school may not have to do it, but they lie because they tell you, the DPI say, well, we're going to do it, and then the administrators say, well, we got to do it. Maybe they don't. Find out what the law is in your state.
That's good advice. That is very good advice because a lot of times school boards feel that they have to do this or have to do that because they believe that's what the law is. In reality, it may not be. That's excellent.
And that was the rumor in Wisconsin that they had to do it in ninth grade, and the media and stuff was saying that. And I found out legally they do not.
Wow.
And that's why we got to take a stand and find out what the laws are.
Mm-hmm.
They lie to you. And the administrators, if they're not concerned, they'll lie to you too.
Yeah.
And then they'll lie to the board member.
Right,
the board
members
have no knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah, you're right about that.
In most cases.
Yeah, you're right about that. A lot of times superintendents here in Pennsylvania run the show, and inform the board of what they want the board to know.
Yeah.
And not the whole story. Yeah, that's happening here in PA also. Anyway, thanks so much, Steve. And I encourage your listeners
thank you. Sorry for being long-winded.
No, that's fine. I encourage your listeners to go to 4 Wins USA. That's wins, plural, 4WinsUSA.com. And thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you again.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFA of PA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afaofpa.org.